Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from the words of A.W. Pink, an English Bible teacher who traveled to different continents preaching the Word of God. He lived from 1886 to 1952. And last time when we dealt with him, we were looking at chastisement, divine chastisement. And even though this is a separate chapter, chapter 8, it's still about divine chastisement. In Hebrews 12:5, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Not all chastisement is sanctified to the recipients of it. Some are hardened thereby, others are crushed beneath it. Much depends on the spirit in which afflictions are received. There is no virtue in trials and troubles in themselves. It is only as they are blessed by God that the Christian is profited thereby. As Hebrews 12:11 informs us, it is those who are exercised under God's rod that bring forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. A sensitive conscience and a tender heart are the needed adjuncts. In our text, the Christian is warned against two entirely different dangers: despise not, despair not. These are two extremes against which it is ever necessary to keep a sharp lookout. Just as every truth of Scripture has its balancing counterpart, so has every evil its opposite. On the one hand, there is a haughty spirit which laughs at the rod, a stubborn will which refuses to be humbled thereby. On the other hand, there is a fainting which utterly sinks beneath it and gives way to despair. Spurgeon said, "The way of righteousness is a difficult pass between two mountains of error, and the great secret of the Christian life is to wind his way along the narrow valley." Well, letter A, despising the rod. There are a number of ways in which Christians may despise God's chastening. We mention four of them. First, by callousness. To be stoical is the policy of carnal wisdom. Make the best of a bad job. The man of the world knows no better plan than to grit his teeth and brave things out. Having no divine comforter, counselor, or physician, he has to fall back on his own poor resources. It is inexpressibly sad when we see a child of God conducting himself as does a child of the devil. For a Christian to defy adversities is to despise chastisement. Instead of hardening himself to endure stoically, there should be a melting of the heart. Number two, by complaining. This is what the Hebrews did in the wilderness. And there are still many murmurers in Israel's camp. A little sickness, and we become so cross that our friends are afraid to come near us. A few days in bed, and we fret and fume like a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. We peevishly ask, "Why this affliction? What have I done to deserve it?" We look around with envious eyes and are discontented because others are carrying a lighter load. Beware, my listener, it goes hard with murmurers. God always chastises twice if we are not humbled by the first. Remind yourself of how much dross there yet is among the gold. View the corruptions of your own heart and marvel that God has not smitten you twice as severely. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Three, by criticisms. How often we question the usefulness of chastisement. As Christians, we seem to have little more spiritual good sense than we had natural wisdom as children. As boys, we thought that the rod was the least necessary thing in the home. It is so with the children of God. When things go as we like them, when some unexpected temporal blessing is bestowed, we have no difficulty in ascribing all to a kind providence. But when our plans are thwarted, when losses are ours, it's very different. Yet is it not written, I form the light and create darkness? I make peace and create evil? I, the Lord, do all these things? How often is the thing formed ready to complain, why have you made me thus? We say, I cannot see how this can possibly profit my soul. If I had better health, I could attend the house of prayer more frequently. If I had been spared those losses in business, I would have more money for the Lord's work. What good can possibly come of this calamity? Like Jacob, we exclaim, all these things are against me. What is this but to despise the rod? Shall your ignorance challenge God's wisdom? Shall your short-sightedness arraign omniscience? And then number four, by carelessness. So many fail to mend their ways. The exhortation of our text is much needed by all of us. There are many who have despised the rod, and in consequence they have not profited thereby. Many a Christian has been corrected by God, but in vain. Sickness, reverses, bereavements have come, but they have not been sanctified by prayerful self-examination. Oh, brothers and sisters, take heed. If God be chastening you, consider your ways. Ponder the path of your feet. Be assured that there is some reason for the chastening. Many a Christian would not have been chastised half so severely had he diligently inquired the cause of it. Now letter B, fainting under it. Well, having been warned against despising the rod, now we are admonished not to give way to despair under it. There are at least three ways in which the Christian may faint beneath the Lord's rebukes. Number one, when he gives up all exertion. This is done when we sink down in despondency. The smitten one concludes that it is more than he can possibly endure. His heart fails him. Darkness swallows him up. The sun of hope is eclipsed, and the voice of thanksgiving is silent. To faint means rendering ourselves unfit for the discharge of our duties. When a person faints, he is rendered motionless. How many Christians are ready to completely give up the fight when adversity enters their life? How many are rendered quite inert when trouble comes their way? How many, by their attitude, say, God's hand is heavy upon me, I can do nothing? Ah, beloved, sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Faint not when you are rebuked of him. Go to the Lord about it. Recognize his hand in it. Remember your afflictions are among the all things which work together for good, in Romans 8:28. Secondly, when he questions his sonship. There are not a few Christians who, when the rod descends upon them, conclude that they are not sons of God after all. They forget that it is written, many are the afflictions of the righteous, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. One says, but if I were his child, I should not be in this poverty and misery and pain. But listen to Hebrews 12, verse 8. If you are without chastisement, whereof you are all partakers, then are you illegitimate and not sons. Learn then to look upon trials as proofs of God's love, purging, pruning, purifying you. The father of a family does not concern himself much about those on the outside of his household. It is they who are within whom he guards and guides, nurtures, and conforms to his will. So it is with God. And thirdly, when he despairs. Some indulge the fancy that they will never get out of their trouble. One says, I've prayed and prayed, but the clouds have not lifted. Then comfort yourself with this reflection. It is always the darkest hour that precedes the dawn. Therefore, faint not when you are rebuked of him. But says another, I've pleaded his promise, and things are no better. I thought he delivered those who called upon him. I have called, and he has not answered, and I fear he never will. What, child of God, you speak of your father this way? You say he will never leave off smiting because he has smitten so long. Rather say, he has now smitten so long, I must soon be delivered. Despise not, faint not. May divine grace preserve both writer and reader and speaker from either sinful extreme. Excellent work, I think, don't you? From A.W. Pink. This book is available from the chapel library. Just send them a note. It's at chapel at mountzion.org. I believe I have that right. chapel@mountzion.org. You can send, look at their whole website, www.chapellibrary.org. But they'll tell you all the things that they have that are free. I think most everything there is. Just ask them for what you want when you see the catalog, and they will send it to you. They'll send you this quarterly every 3 months that I read from quite often here. But you can get in touch with them. You'll see what they have. Well, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and Lord willing, I believe we will talk again real soon. Bye-bye.